اوكي، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين. اللهم لا سهل الا ما جعلته سهلا، وانت تجعل الحزن اذا شئت سهلا. اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا رب الكريم. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته. All right, folks, mashallah, tabarak al-Rahman, it's wonderful to see you all here. Mashallah, busy full house. We have all kinds of folks here. You back, who am I? I meant to not know that you are back, mashallah. So many different threads, so many things to say, but we have many guests, so we first will welcome them, mashallah, from all over the place. And I don't even know who to start picking and speaking about, but mashallah, we have visitors from Canada, we have visitors from, I want to say, the other side of Manchester. Welcome, Hamza Bolton, mashallah, or China. I don't know what you want to say, Yusuf. And mashallah, everyone from everywhere. So welcome. And more important than that is that when people come from far, and I want to guess this is from... See, I've seen almond butter. Now, I know that you haven't seen almond butter as a flavor in a Lindt chocolate. So there are levels to this game, which means this must be Canadian. Mashallah, and I want to say that it's Su'ad, is it? Yes, yeah, she never lets us down, mashallah. Actually, to be honest, she introduced me to the idea of so many crazy flavors and then disqualified me from having first choice. Yeah. You can have, thank you very much, Su'ad. All right, so you'll all be glad to know that I have first choice today. And I want to say that, mashallah, that this is something that we can get done and dusted before the uncles come and take over in the Salatul Isha. And I think I'm going to be a brave boy. I'm going to go with 70% dark chocolate with mint. Of course you can. Why not? So, because that's how we roll, bro. I'm now, you know what it is? I'm not a rock anymore. I'm a stone. Smooth edges. Yeah, refined. You know, like a rock is a bit, you know what I mean? Jagged and rough and a bit dusty and a bit. I'm like a... The waves have battered me down, and then polished the edges. So like one of those smooth pebbles. And I would like to offer my partner in crime, Ijaz, the next choice. A nice pink little number, strawberries and cream, sir.
Oh, I'm a shocker.
Don't say that, Lala. Are you like a proper jagged rock? Oof. Are you saying that I should have your strawberries and cream? Well, you say no more, Lala. Say no more. Ya Allah, Umar. Bismillah, it's everybody. Especially one for Mr. Fishlock and for his good wife, who I wonder whether she's mentally recovered from losing her tin. Guess what? We got your tin back. By the way, that's a reference to the fact that this weekend was the mashallah, the boys' retreat. No. The only people who were treated this weekend were the boys, let me tell you, yeah? All at home, chilling like this, mashallah, at home. No one caring one little bit about the instructions they all received about how to do their kids' any clothes and breakfast. It was amazing. I spoke to Irfan today, whose missus was at the retreat. He goes, man, I don't know about you, but I had the best weekend ever. Yeah. I was like, yeah, Tika, so did they. So did they. Or so they said. So they said. Anyway, alhamdulillah, it was good. And that's that. And with respect to the next few weeks and timings and stuff, I'm a bit still trying to catch up with how we're going to do the timings. So we'll confirm that on the website. Really important that you're on the Telegram group to get the really kind of the more accurate kind of update. So that's going to happen for the next 2 weeks that we're here. 2 weeks that we're here in Shidul Masjid. So that's this week and next week between Maghrib and Isha. And then, inshallah, the next three are on the road. And locations will be confirmed where and what time and the like. But we'll leave that for now in terms of the details. The only thing that matters now is the immediate next 2 weeks. And you'll remember that we were short on the previous year, and so therefore we came back and did a couple of lessons after Eid. And we might need to do that for the next 1 or 2 years until we start to work out a system of how to recover these numbers of lessons. Yeah. So that all being said, there'll be a few announcements as well, no doubt, because the a busy kind of period for classes and seminars. Has the recording of Omar's finance thing gone out?
It's been shared.
In Telegram group? Yeah, so we just had our thingy, Omar Suleiman, who's our resident financial expert. And I think it's something that is really, really good that obviously most of us missed. Why did we miss it? Why did we miss that talk? I can't remember why. But anyway, there'll be that. There's a few Al Maghrib classes in Scotland, in Manchester, in Birmingham, and then in London as well. Various people involved. And the reason I want to keep pushing that more is that, to be honest, the last couple of months of traveling around and the like has made me more aware just how weak the default Islamic knowledge position is, especially in Gen Z, millennials to an extent. Actually, all of us yani, are weak in knowledge, but it's actually very concerning. Very basic knowledge. People are not reading, basically. They're not reading. They're far more interested in, if they have some issue, then just consult AI or GPT or whatever. Or influencers are just focusing on interesting subjects, topics, not that which matters or in depth, but that which is just interesting or, you know, attractive to listen to. Nonsense most of the time, but or controversial. So I really think that we have to take a much stronger stance and insist on pushing ourselves and especially those of our children and those that we know of that Gen Z age, teens, late teens, early 20s, insist upon them attending these classes. There's a reputation out there that people know. And I have to say to you that those people who think they know, who are claiming to be students of knowledge or whatever, they are as ignorant as I could, the worst possible case, like in so many matters. So there's a big battle on our hands. Yeah, and we need to do that. We need to work on this as well. And so I want to make that announcement for the transcribing team, both for QP and for LP, those folks who have got time to help out the team that does that. This has to be the year we take it to the next level. And by what I mean by the next level is that not just for AI to take over all of the transcribed notes, whether they're in PDF format or original Word format, or actually even cut out that format, cut out that step entirely and just take it straight from the YouTube, but in an intelligent fashion. We need people at the top of the AI game, not just those that are going to stick it into some of the existing AI apps and that's it, but rather those that are working in it for a while now, are able to distinguish between all the popular app, the versions or apps that are using or softwares that are using AI, and are able to make this like what people are doing with unreliable sources. So what's happening right now, if you think about it, when you look at a ChatGPT answer or an AI answer, it's essentially, obviously, if it's in the English language, then it's only, you can only use what's out there on the internet that's on in English, right? That's how I understand it, though. I mean, it's not translating the Arabic sources, is it? Right? It can't do that.
Yeah, you can put Arab YouTube video into Google Gemini and it'll give you English summary.
But if that's not been done, then Gemini won't be able to give you that answer. No, that's you putting it in. If I ask Gemini a question, what's the ruling on so-and-so, it's not translating a video to get you your answer. Unless somebody else has already translated it, put that in, it's already on the internet as an extra source.
They're not doing deep research. They can trawl a lot of your sources.
But it will trawl sources that are ready. It won't go and translate as part of its trawling. And so that means that the answers that AI is giving is restricted because of the source which is there. So if we are able to then put our source out there or have AI quality or search quality AI that is using our material, that is authenticated, that is authorized, that's an official position, and has the ability to be able to go through the text and you remove my own opinions and keep the class positions and the like, therefore offering a level of safety, you know. So this has got to be that year. This has been going on for, there was one guy that was meant to be doing this over the last 3-4 years with AI. We've still not seen anything. So anyone who's out there that can give their time in any kind of fashion or their expertise or their advice or take it on or willing to be part of a team that takes it on, then lpnotetakers@gmail.com. lpnotetakers@gmail.com. You'll see that written on the portal as well. Those who are watching online and live, and anybody who's here, then either email them directly or come and see me or Shaz or Zafar and the team. It's important that we don't waste time on this. It's just taking too long. It's just taking too long. And a huge amount of hours goes into it from the transcribing team. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them. They've done an incredible job so far. I mean, we've got 13 years worth of notes, right? That has happened because of just an incredible effort from the team. I mean, mashallah. Anyway, so let's start this chapter. I mean, let's read it again from the beginning. On the portal, you'll only see a limited amount of notes there translated. I think I might have that all done for next week. But in the Arabic, it is Babu Salat al-Eidain. The chapter is that of the Eid prayer of these girls. Have you guys got some extra? We want to know about these chocolates because we're feeling a bit bad. Okay, all right. Channel Tiga. So the Eid prayer, I mean, I've translated it as the Eid prayer. Obviously, Salat al-Eidain means the prayer of the two Eids. But the intention, of course, is the Eid prayer behind that statement. All right, so it's not a linguistic translation. And I also want to this year be that guy that kind of stops worrying about being so literal in translation. And I hope that I have the courage to just keep ignoring that, because I was even losing sleep over just putting the Eid prayer when it says Salatul Eidain, which is the prayer of the two Eids. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not being faithful. So anyway, وَهِيَ فَرْضُ كِفَايَةً إِذَا تَرَكَهَا أَهْلُ بَلَدٍ قَاتَلَهُمُ الْإِمَامِ وَوَقْتُهَا كَصَلَاتِ الضُّحَى وَآخِرُهُ الزَّوَالِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يُعْلَمْ بِالْعِيدِ إِلَّا بَعْدَهُ صَلُّوا مِنَ الْغَدِ وَتُسَنُّوا فِي صَحْرَاءِ وَتَقْدِيمُ صَلَاةِ الْأَضْحَى وَعَكْسُهُ الْفِطْرِ وَأَكْلُهُ قَبْلَهَا وَعَكْسُهُ فِي الْأَضْحَى إِنْ ضَحَّى وتكره في الجامع بلا عذر ويسن تبكير مأموم إليها ماشيا بعد الصبح وتأخر إمام إلى وقت الصلاة على أحسن هيئة إلا المعتكف في ثياب اعتكافه ومن شرطها استيطان وعدد الجمعة لا إذن الإمام ويسن أن يرجع من طريق آخر.
That's enough, yani, of the Arabic. This is the amount that I have translated into English just now. The prayer of the two Eids, it is a communal obligation, and one that the Imam, and by Imam here we mean the leader of the Muslims, and one that the leader will wage war over if a people abandon it. Its time is that of the Duha prayer, and it ends at Zawal. If one doesn't know that it's Eid until after this time, they pray it the next day. It is a sunnah to perform it outside in an open area, to pray the Eid al-Adha prayer at an earlier time and the opposite for the Fitr prayer, to eat before the Fitr prayer and to eat after the Adha prayer if you are offering a sacrifice. It is disliked to perform it in the mosque unless there is legal excuse. It is a sunnah for those praying to leave early for it after the Fajr prayer, walking, whilst the Imam should delay his arrival until the time of prayer itself, all of them presenting themselves in the very best of fashion, other than for the one performing i'tikaf, who arrives in the clothes he is already wearing. From his conditions, is that the minimum number of attendees must be the same as for the Jum'ah prayer, and that they are all full residents. The permission of the Imam is not necessary. The permission for the prayer to be established, that means. It is a sunnah to return back home via an alternate route to the one taken earlier, meaning the one that you've taken to get there. Now, frankly, the Eid prayer is not a difficult prayer. Actually, nearly everybody listening to that would have found that very normal, very non-controversial, very simple and easy to understand. And I'm hoping that this year, as it should be now, 13, 14 years now in, that we can now move swifter as well through the text. A lot of things are to be assumed. And I think maybe even today, yes, we will actually, see an interesting point in how a student now goes through texts that after studying them for a while. So last two lessons, we did cover this whole point of it being a fard kifaya. What does that mean? Communal obligation, meaning that Allah wants it from the community to be established at least once in an area, and not necessarily every single person has to do it, right? And the, you know, the discussions of the scholars over that, and we discussed our class position on that. And what else did we talk about? Yeah, and we also spoke about the fact that the people are fought. And I didn't know how to translate that. I translated it in a weird way, didn't I? I said, what did I say? I said, and it's an obligation that the leader will wage war over if people abandon it. I mean, what I want to say about that, or even though we covered it again, like we covered it last time, but what I want to say is that the its institution is fundamental to the Islamic identity. And if people refuse to allow it to happen or organize it, then they are forced to. That's what it means. And if forcing means sanctions or being even killed over it, then they're killed over it. Not necessarily because everybody is obliged to pray it. And I gave the example of the adhan. That's the last thing that we covered, actually. That when the people are fought over... actually, the hadith states that if you go to a place and they don't establish the adhan, then they can essentially be fought. That's not the intention by the hadith, and neither is it the intention necessarily here. It's indicating that the adhan is an important institution, but the absence of an adhan is indicating an absence of Islam. And that then allows the people who are attacking an area and not sure whether these are Muslims or not to have the confidence and not also the legal then, accountability to have to pay blood money when then Muslim families will come forward and then say, we want to make claims against you because you took the lives of our people, husbands, shepherds, blah, blah, blah. The imam will say, there was no indication this area was an Islamic area or that there were Muslims. We didn't see the salah, we didn't see the masajid, we didn't hear the adhan. And these are absolute external signs that are required in order to give an area an Islamic identity. And the Eid prayer is one of those big, big ticket items as well. And that's how it should be seen. Even though adhan is not obligatory in of itself, even though adhan is not obligated upon every single individual to give, even though the Eid prayer, as we just said, is not obligated upon every individual to pray, but as an institution, they're absolutely obligated. The adhan is absolutely obligated. All of the aspects of Islam are obligated. All right, so today we are at وَوَقْتُهَا كَصْلَاتُ الدُّحَى. This is the part that we got to, right? It's time, is the time of the duha prayer. And we know already that the duha prayer is, as Sheikh Uthaymeen says, from a spear, he says, تَكُونَ مِنْ رَتِفَاعِ الشَّمْسِ قِيدَ رُمْحٍ بَعْدَ طُلُعِهَا, that it's the height of the sun rising above the horizon by a distance of a spear. We've covered this many times. What does this mean? This is that whole kind of thing when you do that, when you're away and you're able to actually put an item there and create a gap between the far away distant object. And so essentially what this means is that the sun needs to completely clear the horizon. So there's none of the disc missing. So you can see the very bottom of the disc. That's the technical, the legal definition of sunrise. And what's good is that it rises a bit more than that so that you could actually put your finger in. You get what I'm saying? You could put your fist in. You could put a spear in. There's a proper, clearly defined gap. Now, obviously, that gap is just an optical illusion because there is no gap. There is no line. There is no horizon. Though everything's in a state of movement. The science is not focused on. It's talking about time. And that's why Sheikh Uthaymeen says basically 15 minutes. And he says, that's basically 15 minutes. And I think I would have mentioned this before in previous lessons, that the concept of 15 minutes is also not a lazy statement, but it's just an estimate, because that 15 statements at different latitudes is 12 minutes. And in other latitudes, it's at 20 minutes. It's all about where you are on the globe and that time of the year. Key being, we've got to clear the horizon. The Sheikh says, and this is the point I wanted to bring your attention to, what if someone says, What if someone says, why didn't the author just say the time of the Eid prayer is when the sun is a spear's length above the horizon after sunrise? Just like I've been forced to explain. Why did he just say that the prayer is at the same time of the Salatul Duha? Make it easy for us and khalas. And Sheikh says that was clearly intentional. The intentional part here is to keep pushing the student along. And that also now goes back to the name of this program. It's logical progression. You're not progressing if you're not revising your notes and you haven't remembered now what Duha is. So you either know what Duha is or now you're being forced to go back and go to the chapter of the Duha and see when is actually Salatul Duha. And then you look and Salatul Duha, it says, oh, it's actually after sunrise by the time that it takes the sun to rise above the horizon by the amount of a spear. And you say, okay, well, that's what it is for now, Eid prayer. So these are intentional things that used to happen and do happen in the books to indicate to students that they need to constantly revise, that they should go back and check, should go back and check. There's got to be some kind of progression. There's got to be some kind of progression. All right. Sheikh says, what if a person says, what's the dalil? What is the evidence that the prayer time is only this period? So, Sheikh Sana says that the evidence is that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Khulafa Ar-Rashideen, the rightly guided caliphs after him, never prayed this prayer except after the sun had risen, only in the Duha time. Never had they ever prayed it before, and never have they prayed it after the Zawal. That's many years of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then multiple decades of the Khulafa Ar-Rashideen, and then the scholars and the Sahaba after them. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, صَلُّ كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, pray as you have seen me pray. And he also said, whoever does an action that's not from our actions, then it will be rejected. It will be rejected. Two authentic hadith in Bukhari. And he also, Sheikh Uthaymeen also adds the point that there's another narration as well. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ. And whoever introduces a new style, new idea when it comes to acts of worship, trying to offer them in kind of funky, fresh ways, it will be rejected. It will be rejected. This is what we know as bid'ah, and it's not acceptable in acts of worship. So that's the evidence, the actual action of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So its start time is clear. That would be once sunrise is proper kicked in. Its actual time is the time of Duha. When does Duha end? Well, now the author tells us and helps us. He goes, its final moment, its closing time is Az-Zawal. Az-Zawal. All right? Now, what does Zawal mean? Zawal Zawal means to disappear. All right? To go, to move, to get lost, to go away, to disappear. And this is essentially referring to the shadow of the sun. So we know that when the sun is rising in the east, as it's rising and we have an item, then the shadow on the west will be there at its longest, huge shadows in the morning. As the sun gets higher and higher and higher, the shadow is now disappearing, until the sun is directly above the item, then we don't have a shadow, and then it goes over to the other side. This going over to the other side is the falling of the sun. It is the first, what we call, sunset. All right? So we've obviously done this before many years ago when we talked about prayer times and we did diagrams and demonstrations. And so all of you should be well used to that. There's two sunsets. The first is the setting from its highest peak moment, which is the what we call in English the meridian, when it is the highest point that it will actually reach in relation to the surface or the earth's surface. So the highest point that it will reach. So when it goes past that, and now the sun is on its fall down, this is the first sun setting. And then you got the actual sunset when it goes underneath the horizon itself and darkness ensues. So that second half of the thing is called after the noon. Noon being the highest point, essentially the mid of the day. Noon, that's the after of the noon. And so with the disappearance of the shadow, and the creation of the sun, of the shadow on the other side, this is the initiation time of Dhuhr. So as soon as we see the shadow go to the other side, we now know that we're in, the sun has started to move. Because the way that it works is that it, and if you're ever thinking about why it's prohibited at the time of Zawal, why is Zawal time prohibited time to prayer? It's not the time of Dhuhr, it's pre-Dhuhr. I want you to imagine, and I've given the example always, and I still think it's the best example out there, the ride which is known as the egg. Not the egg, the pirate ship. Thank you, the pirate ship. And anyone who's ever been on a pirate ship, you'll know that it starts like this and then it keeps going. And when it starts getting to its absolute peak, what essentially happens when it gets to its absolute murder, it goes like that and it's hanging and you're still not sure. Does it still need to go back or is it still going to go forward? And then suddenly it drops, right? And that's essentially the way that it works. That part, when it gets to the very, very top and it slows down and then you're just waiting, waiting, waiting for the drop, that 15 minutes is Zawal. And that's when the sun essentially, even though of course that's not what's happening scientifically, they're all still in movement, but the visual proof of it on the ground is so minimal, essentially, it's not minimal, but actually the item that you've got, imagine if it's a sundial, or imagine you stick a stick, or imagine it's a person. Well, actually, if you put the thinnest thing down, I don't know how to make this in a scientific way, but because nothing has stopped moving, it's not like everything stops in time 15 minutes, but it feels like that because the shadow is swapping between the item itself, if that makes sense, and appearing on the other side. So it feels like everything just stood still. It disappeared on that side and then suddenly nothing, and it appeared on the other side. Actually, it was half going through the item itself, if that makes sense, right? And then it, once you see it on the other side, what that's indicating is that it's on its way down from the, its high point. Yep.
Well, 15 minutes after the meridian point. Why is it 7:00?
But it's not after. This is the point. The meridian point is Zawal. So Zawal itself, the phrase, or rather I should say, the prohibited time to pray is when the sun is at its peak point. When you are visually able to see that the sun has gone past its highest point, that's the start time of permissibility, i.e. Dhuhr. So Zawal itself is essentially the peak point. Now that peak point, even though it would only be, and I don't know the math or the science behind this, even though it might only reach the peak point for a few seconds or not, but visually you can't tell those seconds. Visually, as essentially it's swapping from one side to the other, it's taking about 10, 11, 9 or 20 minutes, depending upon where you are, to be certain of it. The same is for the sun. If you think about the sun, why is it that the masjid today didn't give the adhan until 7:44 or whatever? Yeah, when the actual sunset was 7:39. There is an allowance for what they want to, you know, consider is proper done from a visual point of view. And I mean, if you imagine, we are so thousands of, you know, miles away, hundreds of thousands of miles away, that we're not able to discern these minimal points. So yeah.
If you're not certain of a point, so as well as a point in time, you usually take it to before or after to make sure that safety net is there.
Yes.
Yes. So it's...
So you're saying that surely the Zawal time will start before the actual sun hits its peak?
Yes.
And practically speaking, that is what happens. Because what are we doing on the ground? We're not looking at the sun, are we? So we're looking at that item. We're looking at a shadow, which we think has disappeared. And because, and this is the beauty of it, we don't have a straight up down scenario, but the earth is on its axis, even tilted on its axis, I mean. Because of that tilt, at Zawal, there is actually a shadow. So at the peak point, because if it was like this and the sun was above it, then there'll be no shadow. But the thing is that the sun is at its peak point or its highest point that it can get in its orbit, but the sun, but the earth is tilted. And so actually, ironically, the sun is at its prohibited time when there is a shadow. Now, this actually makes it easier visually to understand Zawal, because the presence of the shadow on the other side is not the start time of Dhuhr. It's when the item's shadow, which is there and its same length, starts to actually now increase. And it's that increase. It's like when you stare at something for a long time, like a shadow, you won't see it move very easily, right? It's like staring at your hour thing, but it is moving. And that 10, 12, 15 minutes is how long it takes to make that move. Shan?
Yeah, just for some clarification, in terms of busting, from what I understand, you don't delay opening the thought.
Yes.
So what you're saying now, to allow for the visual confirmation, there's some error.
So I'm not saying, yeah, so for the sake of the microphone, Shahan's asking about what about fasting then, and when we break iftar, and you're saying that there's a visual discrepancy. So actually, I'm not saying that there's a visual discrepancy. What I'm saying is that Muslim sensibilities is that they want certainty. And so they delay because they want to make sure. Because we talked about, you know, this concept of it's uncertain. So they want to make sure that it's happened. However, with sunset, you do have certainty. You don't need to have 3 minutes after it's set for you to know that it's set. If you can't see the disc, it's done. Where you are, once the disc is gone, it's done. And likewise, the same for light appearing as well. Likewise, at Fajr time, when it's stopping eating time. And you might say, well, how do you get that understanding? And we get that understanding from the Sahaba and their actions. So we've seen statements and actions of Sahaba who are like, you know, well, listen, what I'm seeing is what I'm seeing, I'm good. And others saying, but no, what I can see is what I can see. So it is case-specific to what people are observing and are comfortable believing has actually happened. But these masajid, they're like, you know what? There's a community. We've got to cover everybody. What's another couple of minutes? And most of the... Yeah, but I don't think coming from a good place. Coming from good intentions, but this is not the sunnah. The sunnah is not necessarily to be safe in those areas in which we've been given an exact... moment. I mean, it's interesting that our fasting ends at a very clear visual.
I was going to say, where's technology?
Exactly. And also, I want to say that, I mean, it could have been the other way around, where it was a Zawal situation where we're stopping. And that would be a disaster. Right? So, you know, in his wisdom, he's made it very, very clear. The absence of darkness, the absence of the sun, the most obvious thing ever. And bam, you know, so we don't need to add minutes to it and the like. So as the Sheikh says, فَإِذَا انْتَهَى نَقْصُهُ وَبَدَأَ بِالزِّيَادَةِ فَهَذِهِ عَلَامَةُ زُوَالِ الشَّمْسِ. He goes, as soon as to the east side, we've now stopped seeing the shadow decrease and it starts to increase, this is now the sun, essentially Zawal has completed, and that's the end. Anyway, essentially the morning period is for Eid prayer. Okay? Now, a scenario which is very interesting actually for our own time to understand. But let's read it according to how Sheikh Uthaymeen sees it in the classic books, and then we'll make the adjustment for our modern time. He says, فَإِن لَمْ يُعْلَمْ بِالْعِيدِ. So if Eid is not known, meaning it's not been announced, right? So, well, you know, what happens today is interesting, right? Everyone's on the internet waiting for the announcement, waiting for someone to say whatever, blah, blah, blah. Now, most of them will say it wasn't seen. Now, depending upon policy, and we'll be covering this over the next few weeks, there are opinions about what does it mean to establish the month of Eid, right? Does it need to be in your area or can it be anywhere? And this is obviously, you know, the whole moon sighting debate and everything, and we'll look at the scholarly positions. But let's just put the arguments to the side. Let's just assume that you are following what's known as a universal sighting method, right? What we call ikhtilaf al-matali', meaning that which is of a different zone, a different time zone, to make it easier, right? So a different country. If you are following that position to the letter, that as soon as it is sighted universally, yani globally, anywhere, then I'm going to go with Eid, right? The real question now should be asked is, are you saying that because you believe in it? Or are you saying that just so that you have an excuse to follow Saudi when you're in the UK. And I'll give you, Shaz will have to remind me the year. I can't remember the year, actually. But the year in which the Nigerians came with like some sighting in the middle of the morning or whatever. And Sheikh Ihlan said, I'm doing Eid all by myself. Because the guy is so desperate to finish Ramadan every year that anybody, we say to him, anybody, anywhere on this planet, they claim a sighting, Sheikh goes, that's it, I'm done. I'm done. Because he's the only legit guy that I've seen who follows true global sighting. Whereas the rest of us are just bottle jobs. We just want to hear, we put that in our policy, we follow global sighting. But actually, we just want Saudi to announce it. We want Saudi or a Gulf country or some, you know, big population. Obviously, if the Pakis announced it, we'd all reject it anyway. We say that's a lie, right? So no one's actually true to what they mean by global sighting. Everyone's playing a political game. But Kehlan, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, Wara'a, legit guy, he believes in what he's a principled guy. He's like, I don't care where they sigh in any country, anything, whatever. Now, here's the interesting thing. There are a lot of good sightings in California, right? Which is a late game. That's an 8 hours after you are kind of, you know, well, not 8 hours after you're going to bed, but I mean, what, 6 hours after you're going to bed, maybe? That kind of situation where they're having their kind of evening. And they're often getting a sight. If you ever study moon sighting viability curves, you'll often see that towards the west, viability is good compared to the rest, you know, of the globe. And so, the idea that it's going to be seen if you follow global sighting in the west after you've gone to sleep is a real one. It's a real possibility, and that's why the scholars. They go into more detail, and I don't want to cover this now before we. But I'm just giving you the gist of it. That then the scholars start to divide the world into two halves: the east of where you are and the west of where you are, and whether it's acceptable to see a late or receive a late notice on the east or the west, depending on where you are. So this is another factor to consider. And this, of course, was pre-internet, right? Meaning that even if something was seen, it takes time for it to get to you. So that's how you got to understand the context of the point being made here. Now it's less so likely for this to happen. But I will give you the example. I'll speak to the Sheikh and find out and remember for him to remind me what happened and why it was. I want to say that the reporting was made and no one believed it. And he spent the whole morning, calling up every single person to confirm whether this was actually true, whether it actually happened. And then he confirmed it and he either got it in time, so he prayed of the same day, or if I remember correctly, he then only confirmed it in the afternoon, broke his fast, prayed Eid the next day. And anyway, so we'll come to that. But in this sense, how the texts are writing, this is pre-internet, pre-phone calls, pre-quickly finding out news. So if a person finds out afterwards, like what happened in the narration of Abu Amr ibn Anas from the Ansar, that they said that the Sahaba, the Ansar, قَالُوا غُمَّ عَلَيْنَا هِلَالُ الشِّوَالِ فَأَصْبَحْنَا الصِّيَامَ. Yani, it was the 29th night, tomorrow is the 30th, okay? And on this 29th night, they've made the attempt, which is the Sunnah, to see the moon. The Prophet ﷺ said that if you sight the moon, then establish the Eid. Yep. If you don't see the moon, meaning it's cloudy, then complete 30. So they're following the Sunnah and they've now started the 30th fast. They woke up fasting, meaning that we were fasting that day. فَجَاءَ رَكَبٌ فِي آخِرِ النَّهَارِ. And then suddenly they arrived in Medina, a group of riders, right, that towards the end of the day, not towards the end of the day, but later on in the afternoon. فَشَهِدُوا أَنَّهُمْ رَأُوا الْحِلَالِ بِالْأَمْسِ. And they gave witness, they gave testimony that they saw the moon, the new moon, last night. So in their area, it was not cloudy. And so what they've done is that they've seen it, and they're celebrating Eid and they've now come to Medina. Why they came to Medina on Eid, whatever, we don't know. Maybe they came for whatever reason, but that's not explained in the hadith. And this narration, by the way, does not have much backing or much shawahid, as we say. Yani, those are hadith which are not as strong that give context. And you often find that with the big hadith. A lot of context, yani, sidekick hadiths around it, right? فَأَمَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ النَّاسَ أَنْ يُفْتِرُوا مِنْ يَوْمِهِمْ. So the Prophet ﷺ, this is in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he then commanded for everybody to break their fasts on that day, based upon the witness of the rioters. وَأَنْ يَخْرُجُوا غَدًا لِعِيدِهِمْ. And to then make their Eid the next day. So they did not pray the Eid that day and they did not celebrate the Eid that day like it would have. And all of the kind of the trappings of the Eid happened the next day. Why? Because this was after the Zawal. This is narrated by Imam Ahmad and Abu Dawood and Imam Ad-Darqutni. And he said that this hadith is Hassan. That this hadith is Hassan. I want to say to you that this hadith has some discussion over it and some scholars considered it to be weak, but I think it's authentic. At least the chain. The chain is a good one. And this was also the position of Imam al-Nawawi and also the position of Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, which he said that in Al-Bulugh al-Maram, that this hadith is authentic. So therefore, based upon this hadith, what do we learn? That if people find out late, meaning after the Zawal, then you need to delay the prayer to the next day. If you found out 10 o'clock in the morning, knock out the prayer and use that day as the Eid. If you find out at 1 p.m., it's too late. Eid prayer can't be prayed anyway. So you must stop fasting because it's haram to fast on Eid. But the celebration of the Eid goes to the next day. And that's a minor anyway, the celebration part. The most important part is to stop fasting. That's the prohibition. So that's that. Okay. And in Eid al-Adha, ينتظرون الصلاة فلا يدحون إلا بعدها من الغد. And in Eid al-Adha, there's a second aspect to it, that not only would they delay the prayer to the next day, but they would delay the sacrifice to the next day as well. And the Eid al-Adha, which is named after the Udhiyah, the Udhiyah is the sacrifice that we will do, the Qurbani as we call it. Yeah, this Udhiyah is something which is offered after the prayer. It can't be done before, right? And so therefore, if you hear about the Eid starting the next day, if you heard late and it's already an afternoon, then not only will the prayer be prayed the next day, the Udhiyah will have to be then made up the next day as well. And Sheikh Uthaymeen does something really nice here. He says, and with this munasabah, with this situation, let's take advantage and remind ourselves then of the various categories of what happens when a prayer is missed. Because not every missed prayer is treated the same. So look at these categories, all right? فَإِنَّ الصَّلَوَاتْ تَنْقَسِمُ فِي قَضَائِهَا إِلَىٰ أَقْسَامٍ. So the prayers, if they are missed, are put into various categories. The first category, four categories. الأول ما يقضى على صفته إذا فات وقته من حين زوال العذر الشرعي. So the first category is that which is made up exactly in exactly as it was obligated. So four raka'ah missed, four raka'ah to be made up, right? This is what I mean, yani made up exactly in this right way. And it's to be made up the second that the shar'i reason that you missed it disappears. So whatever reason it was, that has to be permissible, of course, because if it was haram, then that's a whole different story. But whatever the reason was that made you miss it, and now you're praying it, when that's removed, that's when it's required. That's when it's obligated immediately. No waiting, no delay, no give me 5 minutes, no give me 10 minutes. It's got to be done. All right. So for example, if that legal excuse was sleep, then you got to pray it the second you wake up. If that legal excuse was forgetfulness, you have to pray it the second you remember. Oh my God, I haven't prayed Asr, right? No delay, has to be prayed straight away. There are some exceptions to this, of course. What's the exception to this? They're very rare, and they the Sheikh didn't mention it because he's not here to talk about this in detail. He's giving you four broad categories. What would the exception to that be? It's actually asked here quite regularly, to be honest. Huh? No.
Is menstruation as well?
No menstruation. No. If what, sorry? Yeah, that's another exception. That's another exception. Actually, you said that, whoever said prohibited times. But that's an exception that the scholars differed over. And, you know, they said, for example, Emma said when it's a prohibited time, like the sun rising. So imagine you hadn't prayed Fajr. So you might remember we discussed this, you know, in that section, that actually this is a prohibited time and you need to wait until afterwards and then pray it. However, there, like the Hanafi school, it was like, you know, the kind of person who misses Fajr is the kind of person who's not going to wait another 25 minutes, right? We either get him there and then or we don't. So you're allowed to pray when the sun's rising, because I don't expect you to pray afterwards, which I've always found a fascinating position, and it deserves respect, actually, right? But that's not the exception I was thinking of. Correct, that's correct. Yeah, when the prayer time of the current prayer that you're in is about to expire. So I haven't prayed Asr. I remembered in Maghrib. But when I say I remembered in Maghrib, I mean I remembered right now. And Isha is about to start in a couple of minutes, okay? And I haven't prayed Maghrib. So right now, Isha is about to start. I haven't prayed Maghrib. And I've just remembered, oh my God, I haven't even prayed Asr. So I've got two choices here. First of all, obviously order needs to be maintained. Order needs to be maintained and Asr needs to come first. I've got to make an assessment. I look and I say, is it 7 minutes till Isha? Oh, I can do that. I pray my 4 rakah Asr and I pray my 3 rakah Maghrib. If I've got 1 minute left for Isha, right? Then that means I've got 1 minute to pray my Salatul Maghrib. My Salatul Asr is already missed. Don't now make it worse and miss Maghrib as well. So now I pray my Maghrib because at least that's a legal prayer in time. Make Tawbah for delaying the Asr prayer even more, and then pray the Asr prayer straight after. That's the exception to the rule. Omar.
If you were in the mosque for... actually, you just happen to remember... I don't know how this happens for tomorrow. Would you pray Isha with the congregation or pray Asr behind?
No, you'd pray straight away. So the question Omar said, he goes, right, so if you're in that masjid carrying on that scenario, you prayed your Maghrib now you need to pray Asr, and you think, well, you know what? The Imam's about to pray, I might as well just pray with him, 4 and 4. My intention is Asr and his intention Isha. Absolutely impossible. You've got to pray your Asr straight away. No permissibility for you to try to find a cheeky bonus to it or extra reward for it or some kind of whatever. You've got to pray immediately and then pray the Isha afterwards. And there are some scholars, by the way, just so that you realize the futility of that, that say that you've got to repeat the Maghrib as well, right? Because order has to be maintained. So they'll say, now you're going to pray your Asr, then you've got to pray your Maghrib, then you've got to pray your Isha, all at the beginning of Isha time.
When you say straight away, do you mean miss the Isha Jama'ah?
No, you would pray super quick to not miss the Isha Jama'ah. You would take liberties, you would cut surahs out, you would reduce tasbihat, you would be praying quicker than normal. You'd be doing it outside. You would be ensuring that you don't miss at least 1 rakah out of the fard. Priorities, basically. Yeah? What time are we making this adhan? What time is the actual time? Now? Huh? Yeah, don't touch the mic, huh? Just give the adhan. Just give the adhan. In fact, we don't even need them. Oh, upstairs, yeah? Yeah, channel. Take it. Then it's okay. Just say it. This is okay. It's on. Upstairs.
Allah
Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu ilaha illallah.
Ashhadu an la ilaha.
Ashhadu Allah. أشهد أن محمد رسول
الله
أشهد أن محمد رسول
لا حول ولا قوة. لا حول ولا قوة.
هيا على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
لا إله إلا الله.
لا إله إلا الله ورسول الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آت محمد الوصيل والفضيل وبعث مقام محمود الذي وعدت لك لا تخلف الميعاد. Okay, we have about another 5 or 6 minutes because we need a few minutes to move the sisters to the salah and take this side down. So the first category then is that the prayers that need to be made up exactly as they are, immediately without any delay. The second category, ما لا يقضى إذا فاتك الجمعة, that which is not made up if it is missed, like the Jum'ah prayer. If you miss the Jum'ah prayer, you don't make it up. Okay, so if the people pray it and it's done and you arrive too late, that's it, it's gone and you are to pray Dhuhr. You don't make up Jum'ah yourself. And that's the same even the jama'ah. If you get any too late, then regardless of the time, even the jama'ah itself, it's missed, then it is gone and you replace it with dhuhr. You replace it with dhuhr. The third category, ma la yuqda idha fata waqtuhu illa fi waqtihi min yawm al-thani, that which if it's missed, the time is missed, it's only made up from on the next day. And that's the example is Salatul Eid, both Eid prayers, as we said. So that's the third category, separate and different to not making up at all and making up immediately. And the fourth is ma la yuqda aslan ka Salatul Kusuf, that which is not made up at all, such as the lunar eclipse prayer, the lunar eclipse prayer. So, فَلَوْ لَمْ يَعْلَمُوا إِلَّا بَعْدٍ جِلَاءِ الْكُسُوفِ لَمْ يَقْدُوا وَهَكَذَا نَقُولُ كُلُّ صَلَاةٍ ذَاتُ سَبَبٍ إِذَا فَاتَ سَبَبُهُ لَا تُقْضَى. So, for example, if a person realizes too late and the eclipse is done or the prayer that was offered is done, then that's it. It's not something which is made up afterwards. Or, for example, a person is by himself and the eclipse was missed and now he's like, oh man, I missed the eclipse, but I'm going to pray anyway. It's not made up. When the eclipse is done and finished, the prayer is not yani to be done. And therefore, Sheikh Uthaymeen says there's a maxim there, there's a rule there that we can learn, that every prayer that has a specific reason, right? Every كل صلاة ذات سبب إذا فات سببها لا تقضى. If there, every prayer that is enjoined, whether recommended or obligated upon the Muslims due to a specific reason, once the reason is gone, it cannot be made up. It should not be made up. So, on this point, let's enjoy what happened to Zafar, who, mashallah, made Do you want to tell everybody what you did? Yeah, I know. You have no idea. So, let me tell you what happened on Sunday. Sunday, when all you lot were having the treat of your lives, yes, at home, mashallah, and left us with the religious folks, we decided on Sunday to pray the lunar eclipse prayer, which I heard Sheikh Abdul Ghaffar did here, and none of you attended. Yeah, so that's okay. But the women, they were there praying. Zafar, mashallah, was hungry, so he was eating and carried on eating and drinking and making hay in the kitchen. And then he thinks that, you know what, let me join them because this is the lunar eclipse prayer. There's so many rukus, I can catch one of them anyway. Yeah, because obviously it's a two-unit prayer, but it's got four rukus in it. My guy arrives, right, I don't know, what part that he came in? Which part did he come in, Zafar? The second rak'ah in his dreams. Okay. In actual fact, it was the second of the second rak'ah. And because it had two units, he said, oh, this is great. And then after salam, he sat down and didn't get up, yani making up the first rak'ah. Now, I'm thinking to myself, what on God's earth is this? Yeah. But I was on the other end of the saf. Sheikh Ahsan led the prayer. And so, just so that you know, I said, okay, you know what it is? I'm going to tell him in a second that, bro, you need to stand up and make another rak'ah to complete this prayer. But Abu Dharr, mashallah, had chosen this weekend as a holiday, right? And the stress that I've been in trying to manage this situation with these ladies, yes? They were harmless, mashallah, they were great. But it's a stress in running the show as well, whilst also teaching and whilst also whatever, means I completely forgot, focused on giving the announcements and telling them about this, that, blah, blah, blah. And then when the next time that I see Zafar is like after 20 minutes serving the food over there in the kitchen. And I said to myself, Yani, what am I going to tell this guy? The prayer is gone. The eclipse is gone. In his mind, he's like, I did 2 rak'ah, I'm great. I said, why am I going to destroy this guy's dreams? So, yeah, I was saving this. I said, you know what? What a great opportunity that in the book, when the lunar eclipse point comes, we'll make sure we do your best theory as well. Well done. So, on that note, what we'll do is that we'll ask if we can just ask our sisters to move to the through this door and go to the other side. And then once they're done, then Zafar take this barrier down. So while that's happening, let's do some Q&A on what we covered so far. Any questions on the topic? Yes, Qamar.
So the Namaz Day is between Zawal and...
Nope, the Eid prayer is after sunrise until Zawal.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is it at the start at that point? Is it have to be
defeated? You mean the very, very last point, you mean?
Yeah.
The prayer has to have started, correct. The minimum means that the prayer has to have had, and according to us, 1 rak'ah done before Zawal is complete. Yes. Yeah. Hamza.
The scenario in which Eid al-Adha would be not done because when we gave it back, we see that would be like very...
That would be extremely rare. Correct. You are right. Hamza said the whole Eid al-Adha situation. Yeah. I'll give you the example of it. The example is that actually someone has seen it but forgot to tell the people and then come to the city afterwards and said, what's happening? Why are you, you know... Yeah, but yeah, Eid al-Adha is going to be a shocker if someone is 10 days into the month and announcing that you guys got it wrong. So yeah, it's much likely to happen with Eid al-Fitr. Yes, correct. Hamza.
So in some situation last year, we said that we bagged the corpses look or did something, it's just but you're disputing on shares like the 500 to that doesn't mean other times you take pauses and mostly the
So Hamza is saying that when you're using as your primary evidence the fact that the Prophet ﷺ only did something and that's it, that's what you're saying, yeah? How is that measured when in some places we're saying it's obligatory and other times we're not? And the answer to that is with the variation. If variation is offered or shown or displayed in that generation or the next, then you know that clearly that action then was there to show variety, what we call tanawwur, the permissibility to do it in different ways. When that action has never changed in from one way and not even suggested in a different way or half a different way or any kind of expression of it, it's a dead cert, as they say. That's a good question. We done? Barakallahu feekum, subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka allahumma wa atubu ilaik, wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.